Naming Jack the Ripper. New crime scene evidence. A stunning forensic breakthrough. The killer revealed. By Russell Edwards. Read by Lawrence Dobiesch. Introduction. It was Saturday, the 17th of March, 2007, St. Patrick's Day. Not that I was even aware of the Saint's Day. The date had a much greater significance for me. It was the day that I attended an auction, the first I had ever been to. A day that started with great excitement and determination and ended in desperate disappointment. Why was this auction so important to me? To a casual observer, the catalogue produced by Lacey Scott & Knight, a firm of auctioneers, for the sale that day in Bury St. Edmunds, Suffolk, was fairly standard. Antiquarian books, ceramics, jewellery, clocks, paintings, plenty of Victorian and Edwardian mahogany furniture. At another time in my life, when I was dabbling in antique furniture, I would have enjoyed browsing through the lots. But today there was only one item I was interested in, and it was definitely the star item of the day, with an entire page of the catalogue devoted to it. It was an old silk shawl, damaged, with pieces missing. I'd been to see it the day before and had been struck by how beautiful it was, much more so than I expected. The centre panel was plain silk, and at either end there were broad panels intensely patterned with flowers, Michaelmas daisies, predominantly, in gold and red. On one side it was brown with patterned edges, and a wide border at each end of blue with the flower pattern, and on the other side a lighter brown with blue ends. Even to my untutored eye, it was clearly very old. But its significance was far more than its age. This is what the catalogue listing said. Lot 235, a late 19th century brown silk screen printed shawl decorated with Michaelmas daisies, length 8 foot, with some sections cut and torn. Unlike the tables and pictures that filled the rest of the list, there was no estimated price given. It simply read, "Est, please refer to auctioneers." I had done just that. When I saw the shawl on the previous day, when auctions normally hold a viewing day for potential buyers, the auctioneer had told me the reserve price, and I had been surprised by how low it was. Definitely within my budget. On another page, with a large photograph of the shawl, the catalogue read, "Provenance." According to the vendor's family history, this shawl is purported to have been removed from Jack the Ripper victim Catherine Eddowes' body by his great-great-uncle, Acting Sergeant Amos Simpson, who was based near Mitre Square in the East End of London. However, there is some controversy surrounding the authenticity of this story, and interested parties are advised to do their own research before bidding. The shawl spent some time in the Metropolitan Police Crime Black Museum, and in 2006 was subject to inconclusive forensic testing for a programme on Channel 5. The story of the shawl is discussed at length in Appendix 1 of Kevin O'Donnell's book, The Jack the Ripper Whitechapel Murders, based on research by Andy and Sue Parler. A copy is available on demand in the office. So there you have it. If genuine, this was one of the few physical remains from the scenes of the crimes committed by Jack the Ripper as he terrorised the streets of London and carved his way into the British psyche. Everyone has heard of Jack the Ripper. Not many know the full story, but everyone has a vague impression of dark, foggy streets in Victorian London with a mad serial killer on the loose, attacking and viciously mutilating his prostitute victims. It is perhaps the greatest, most famous unsolved crime in the world, the one that draws tourists from across the globe to the streets of London's East End. Of course, the catalogue was careful to make sure that the claims for the shawl were muted. There was no proof it had belonged to the victim, Catherine Eddowes, just a long family history. But still, there was a good chance. I had done some research. I believed it was genuine, and I wanted it. I wanted it very badly. I was nursing